The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Pretty good. You guys seem to be having a lot of fun being mixed up between each other. Who would know that that would happen in sunny Joburg?
It happens actually everywhere around the world, which is a bigger problem.
It's very hard to believe because I am the good-looking one.
Yes, that is true. Absolutely can't deny that with my full head of hair, unlike Al Taxton. Anyway, Anthony, I so look forward to the day when item number one on our discussion list isn't coalition update, but the reality is that it is a part of very important goings on in Israel. So what is the coalition update?
Well, I could offer to remove it from
please
from
don't
if you
no.
want, Howard, even if we don't have a coalition together. But actually I saw an interesting article yesterday which wasn't really carried mainstream. And so that for me was interesting. First of all, that it was very positive in the sense that it spoke about the fact that there have been these secret national unity government talks between representatives of Prime Minister Netanyahu and Benny Gantz, and that they already have a few agreements in place, and that the most important thing that I read out of the whole article was the fact that both leaders understand and agree that a third election is undesirable and won't happen. That was kind of the most important thing. They understood that by hook or by crook, they've somehow got to get an agreement together for this national unity government and that there will not be a third election. And it surprised me that it was carried, even if it was carried in, you know, one of Israel's main newspapers, the financial newspaper, it doesn't seem to have been replicated in other newspapers. One would have thought that that would be a very newsworthy item. And so it makes me kind of wonder whether there is any substance to these reports. I certainly hope so. So what I'm going to say now, I'm saying with kind of limited confidence because I'm not quite sure to what extent this is real news or fake news, but the news was good, so I'm going to talk about it. And what I've read is that that Benny Gantz has accepted the principle of Netanyahu starting the rotation as prime minister, Netanyahu has accepted the fact that he will have to suspend himself if he is indicted. So I think that those are really two important facts, and I think they're very helpful because I think that there was this question as to whether Netanyahu would recuse himself from the prime ministerial role if he was indicted. It seems from this report that that's accepted. Exactly what that means in terms of the official title that Benny Gantz will have is not clear because I know that President Rivlin did suggest that he wouldn't necessarily become prime minister, but he would be in an acting sort of role while those legal proceedings are going on. I think it's semantics. I think it's really it's peripheral to the whole discussion. I think it's important that we have a government. If Netanyahu wants to take the first rotation, I think that that would be okay. However, if there is an indictment issued against him, which seems quite likely, and it seems that it might be as soon as December, so his role as prime minister may be a very short-lived one, but that if he is indicted formally by the Attorney General, by the Justice Ministry, that he will recuse himself of the role, and effectively Benny Gantz will then take over in some sort of a caretaker capacity as prime minister, effectively becoming the prime minister, even if he's not going to be called that. And then I guess there will be a second rotation where Gantz will formally be the prime minister. So, you know, if those principles are in place already, I think that a long distance has already been run in terms of the achievements. The next question becomes, to what extent will this coalition government include the right-wing parties, the bloc that Netanyahu has formed with the ultra-Orthodox parties, with the right-wing parties. And there has been reports suggesting that Aryeh Deri has been quite involved in negotiations for the coalition. Other reports have actually denied that this is correct. But if Deri has been involved, then there is a strong indication that the ultra-Orthodox parties will be part of the coalition. And therein lies a huge challenge in terms of trying to marry together the views that come out of the Likud with those coming out of Kahol Levan. So I think there's still some work to be done, even if, you know, those main things have been agreed between Gantz and Netanyahu. But I so want to believe this. I really want to believe this because I think that this is really the only way forward right now. So that's what we know unofficially through this one particular article. And as I say, it's not being supported through the rest of the press that I've read. But I do want to believe it.
All right. So that is potentially very, very good news. Let's hope that it comes to fruition. All right. The other issues and other subjects that we wanted to talk to you about is other issues that I wanted to talk to you about is the Iranian issue, because they continued to violate the nuclear agreement, and that's in spite of other signatories expecting other signatories to abide by it. What are their latest violations?
So the latest announcement that was made yesterday by Iran is that they will now be enriching uranium to the level of 5% at this underground facility that they've got, the nuclear facility that they've got at Fordow. And the agreement, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action Agreement, which we loosely call the Iranian Nuclear Agreement, that was signed by Iran and those six world powers, the P5 plus one group, specifically prevented Fordow from being used to enrich uranium. And in fact, it was said that Fordow would be turned into a nuclear physics and technology center, even though they have more than 1,000 centrifuges there. But it was agreed in that particular agreement that those centrifuges would not be used for the purposes of enriching uranium to levels that could potentially be used in nuclear weapons. Yesterday, Iran formally notified the world and the International Atomic Energy Agency of their intention to just blatantly go against the terms of this agreement. And they've done it very formally and very publicly. There's no secret about it. The agreement says one thing, and yesterday they announced that they were going to do something completely in violation of this agreement. And there's no doubt about it. In other words, there's no argument as to the fact that, well, maybe it's a different interpretation. There's none of that. This is black and white. The agreement says one thing. They're doing something else. All the other P5 plus one countries, except the United States, still seem to be remain committed to this agreement. And this is where my understanding really is lacking, because I have absolutely no idea in the world why any party to this agreement would stick by the agreement, would stick their neck out and publicly say that they have no intention of leaving the agreement in the way that President Donald Trump did with the United States. None of the other five countries have said that. And I just don't understand why. In addition, the International Atomic Energy Agency also is not saying anything to support the fact that this agreement has been flagrantly violated without any shame. I don't understand how this can be the case.
Well, I think the answer is quite simple, and we don't need to go further back than 1939, where we were going to have peace in our times. It's a Neville Chamberlain story, if ever I've seen one.
Well, you see, I disagree there.
Mm-hmm.
I think the blame rests absolutely very firmly on all of this, on the side of Netanyahu and Trump.
Why?
Because Trump withdrew from the agreement on Netanyahu's request. And that opened up all the doors.
Donald Trump, way, way before he was president, was very clear during his campaign that this was what he was going to do because he didn't trust the Iranians.
But
Howard, I think it goes.
Let me just answer that.
Yeah, yeah.
And makes no difference what Donald Trump said during his campaign. Donald Trump came into office at Netanyahu's request. America withdrew from the agreement. There is no reason why Iran should adhere to an agreement when the main party on the other side has withdrawn.
Well, so, Anthony's point. He's saying, well, if Iran isn't adhering to the agreement,
If America isn't adhering to the agreement,
and Iran is not, and therefore why is anybody?
Why should Iran?
Fair enough, that's fine.
There are a few things I'd like to add.
Sure.
The first of which is that there is a strong argument put forward that even before the U.S. withdrew from the agreement, that Iran was not adhering to it. Okay. Now, that's a discussion that we can hold because it wasn't done so publicly and so blatantly as these violations are being done right now. But there was a very, very strong case put forward, which Donald Trump accepted. Of course, you're right, Howard Sachs, seemed to say that it was at Netanyahu's request, but Netanyahu was requesting it from somewhere. It wasn't just simply, well, it's a bad agreement, which he's been saying all along. But on this particular occasion, he was saying, look, Iran entered into this agreement. Iran is violating the agreement. Do you want to stick by it in spite of the fact that Iran is violating the agreement? And Trump decided to withdraw at that point. In my understanding, according to my understanding, because of the fact that Iran was already violating the agreement. That's point one. Point number two is, fine, so the U.S. has withdrawn from the agreement, and I think that the U.S. did it very openly. In other words, there was no pretense about the fact that it's still a party to the agreement, but it's not adhering to its terms. On the other hand, Iran then went around the other five countries, getting them to commit to stay within the agreement, which they all did. And then Iran went about violating it while still being party to the agreement. So I think there is a difference between withdrawing from the agreement and then doing whatever you like, as opposed to staying in the agreement and still doing what you like, which is exactly what's happening with Iran right now. And the other five countries are accepting it. That's the bit that I don't understand.
You know, for me as well, that the fact that Iran has continued throughout the agreement to call for the destruction of Israel, to publicly, quite openly fund terror throughout the region and in fact throughout the world, means that this is not a party that one really should have been entered into this type of agreement in the first place.
Sorry, the consequences of that, and I'm sorry, you all taking extraneous issues, because Netanyahu didn't like the agreement in the first instance.
Absolutely.
Didn't want the Americans to enter into the agreement 100%. In the first instance. The key component of that agreement was America. America destroyed the agreement and their consequences as a result.
100%. I don't disagree with any of those parts.
I'm no fan of Iran. But any country who would logically have the other side withdraw from an agreement would take the action that Iran is doing.
Now, I don't disagree. So far, so good.
The rest of the Europeans are desperately trying to get some sort of semblance of normality back to something that was destroyed by the Americans. And the reality that we understand in all of this is when one side takes action, you have to, in fact, expect the other party in all of this to react. And that's exactly what Iran is doing.
I don't disagree with anything that you've said so far. The point is that what Anthony's perplexed about is why the European nations continue to maintain their side or want to maintain their side of a deal that is completely dead.
Because they're desperately trying to keep the Iranians as controlled as possible in an environment where America went and destroyed the agreement.
Okay, so
I'm not sure that I agree that America really destroyed the agreement. I agree, of course, that America withdrew. I think that the agreement
and imposed
was
sanctions and froze assets.
Absolutely, absolutely, and all of those things, because I think that Iran was already violating the agreement under the covers. So, you know, if you ask me as to whether I would rather have Iran within an agreement and pretending as if though it's behaving in a certain way when really in reality it's doing something different, or if I would rather have Iran blatantly and publicly stating exactly what it's doing, then I would choose the second. In other words, I think that the agreement was just somewhere for Iran to hide. It was like a cover to hide away the reality of what was truly going on. And I think that it was Israel who exposed the fact that even though Iran had committed to do one thing, it was doing something else. And therefore, I don't suggest that it was America who destroyed the agreement, but rather the Iranians. And that eventually this was all going to fall over because they were never committed to adhering to its terms in the first place. That's my view.
We do have to leave it there. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Faisal wants to know, and maybe we can get to this tomorrow. Faisal says, team, what happened to the so-called deal of the century? Maybe we can get an update on that as well. Perhaps it's difficult because Israel doesn't have a government, but it would be interesting to get an update. Thank you, Faisal, for that. Anthony Rock, we'll catch you tomorrow, same time, same place.